Is that time to check in with that guy who covers the Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and us right here on the Wendy's Big Show. Find him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood, and there is Woody on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How are you this afternoon, Ryan Wood?
Doing well. How are you?
We're doing well. In Seattle, I understand, right?
That's, yeah, some might, Packers fans particularly might refer to it as the scene of the accident. But yes, right. In Seattle.
I'm on social media, and I'm seeing a lot of Packers fans who made the trip to Seattle. Is social media misleading, or are you seeing a lot of green and gold walking around the streets?
I have, but that's honestly no different than just about any time I'm in town. Packers fans are incredible in how they travel. Every time I'm in town, No matter the town, I'm seeing green and yellow. So, no, it's pretty impressive.
I know Bart Winkler from our morning show, him and a band of misfits that he knows from high school, they all made the trip out to Seattle. So if you see him, steer clear. He's probably had a few, Ryan Wood, and he's
fair enough.
Probably not somebody you want to be around. Just kidding. Ryan, I was saying earlier, we were talking about how big a game this is tonight, and I'm not going to call it must win, but to me, a win is a pretty nice bump in their playoff hopes, because you're essentially knocking one of your primary competitors for the wild card right now in the Seattle Seahawks out of the picture. But a loss and their playoff hopes are hanging by a thread. Am I putting too much on one game here on Thursday night?
No, it's not a must win, but it's a big win. If they can get it, it's big. It's big for both teams. I mean, the Seahawks at 4-5. I don't know if it's a must-win for them either, but they're in the same boat as the Packers, where for either team, whoever wins tonight, it can be a springboard. The Seahawks are feeling good about themselves, but awfully frustrated too, being able to come close to an upset win at the Rams last week. Obviously, it's not good for either team to have to make the short week adjustment.
Hey, Woody, I apologize. I think it may be more so for them, because if they lose, I think the Rams may clinch that division or a playoff spot or something. If they want to do anything to be there, if the Rams collapse and be there, they have to win tonight. So both teams may be in the same, boat, I guess.
I mean, I think the NFC West race is over already.
It was over from day one.
I don't think Seattle's holding on to hope that the Rams are going to collapse and somehow get the division. It's wild card or bust for them. The NFC West is totally different than the NFC North, where you've got everybody kind of still jumbled up and it's still anyone's race. The NFC West is over. So, no, I mean, what I was going to say, though, is, it's obviously a huge disadvantage for the Packers to have had to travel out here on Tuesday, 2 days after playing the Dolphins, and 2 days before playing their short week, making that four-hour flight out to Seattle. That's the question. How are their legs going to respond? How are their bodies going to respond to not just the short week, but the travel involved, too?
Do you have faith that they will not abandon Aaron Jones tonight?
It's a good question. I want to say yes, but I also want to say no. I think it's going to be really interesting, because I don't know. On one hand, you would like to think that they watched the film last week and saw that, every time you give it to 33, he's getting 10 yards at least. It's kind of a good thing. On the other hand, if it took till last week for that to be obvious, I don't know how they could be so delayed. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if they do stick with what works tonight. I don't know if they will. I think they kind of have to. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I think for the most part, you got a few things is going on here. The travel for the guys that you're a little bit maybe concerned about it. Trevor Davis is coming back. That'll help with special teams. But at the same time, you're going to see a lot of moving parts at safety. And that's one of my biggest concerns, because they're going to face an option-tight offense with Russell Wilson. So hopefully these safeties can tackle correctly. Otherwise, Seattle has one of the best running games anybody's ever seen with a three-headed monster.
Yeah, the Packers are equipped to be able to defend the running game because their strength is the defensive line. But you mentioned it, the safety position, and to me, maybe even more so, the second level with the linebackers, spying Russell Wilson, staying true to their assignments on the read options and the stuff that they like to do. That's obviously built on speed and deception. That's critical, because I do think that if they just line up, play mano a mano, this Packers defensive front can handle the run game. It's the quarterback runs. It's what Wilson does. That is the big question mark. And how they defend that will be awfully interesting. Like I said, I think they're going to use some sort of a spy. Who that is, I don't know, because I don't think Blake Martinez is that guy. Is Clay Matthews the guy? Did they go with the safety? That'll be really interesting to me. But I mean, that's where they've got to keep Russell Wilson from, frankly, running all over him and making big plays with his arm too. But really, running all over him and if that power ground game and then the read option are working in cohesion, that would really get the Packers defense on their heels.
Talking with Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider here on the Wendy's Big Show. And speaking of that Packers defense, they lead the league right now in sacks. And I feel like a lot of people are dismissing that or poo-pooing it, Ryan, and they're pointing to, you know, you're facing Miami and up big late last week while they're missing two of their offensive tackles, and you racked up some numbers there. Then there was the last Kyler Fackrell game. I don't remember exactly which team they were playing, and they racked up a bunch of sacks there.
Buffalo, they had a bunch.
It was the Buffalo Bills. That's right. Yeah.
The Rams, they had 5 or 6 sacks.
Do you think what we've seen from Mike Pettine's defense is smoke and mirrors? Are the numbers misleading, or is the improvement as drastic as the statistics might indicate, in your opinion?
I mean, the numbers are the numbers. So, I mean, it's like in baseball when the guy's hitting 310 and you're like, he's not really a 310 hitter, but he is a 310 hitter.
Right.
Hitting 310. The Packers are leading the league in sacks. Does that mean they have a dominant pass rush? I wouldn't say that, especially with their limitations on the edge. But it means that Mike Pettine, especially, give him a slap on the back because he's figured out a way to work with what he has, or more specifically what he doesn't have, and has been able to generate production with scheme, and players have been able to use that scheme to be opportunistic and get home. And it's been pretty amazing. It's got to be the most surprising statistic right now with the team as a whole, is that this team is leading the league in sacks. Even players in the locker room that I talked to and others talked to this week were surprised to learn that. I don't think that a lot of people expected this defense to be where it is on the sack stat sheet at this point in the season. But if you watch the games, it's game in, game out. Are they getting constant pressure? No. But they're doing enough. If this offense can figure it out, this defense has done enough to give them a real chance.
What about Trevor Davis? He returns tonight for the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, special teams, we all know he's probably going to make a big impact on special teams. How much of an impact do you think he'll have on offense?
Oh, I wouldn't expect next to none on offense. He's being brought off IR for one reason and one reason alone, because they can't stop fumbling kickoff and punt returns. And he's a guy that has been proven to, you know, there's been some questionable decisions that he's made as a returner, but he's got some pop. He's got some explosiveness. He's had really good production. He was second or third in the league last year in average, and he didn't fumble last year. So that's huge. I mean, you can't keep fumbling kickoff and punt returns, and he's the guy that would have started the season as the return specialist. It's basically getting a starting spot back, albeit on special teams. He's a teams player to me. Really good as a gunner too. That'll be a question. Will they? Because they've gotten good gunner production. Will he work his way in? Because he was really good as a gunner last year. As a receiver, Davante Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown are still the top three.
Yeah, because you don't want Lockett to get a punt return for 80 yards and just set the tone with that place. Get rocking, right. It'll be loud. It's just, they got to get special teams fixed.
Hey, you know, the one. Go ahead.
Sorry, it's the worst special teams has been since the last time they were in Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the 14 season, I'm not just talking about the NFC Championship game, but that stands alone. But the whole season. Sean Slocum got fired at the end of the year for a reason. All season, the teams were awful. The teams have been awful this year. So you're right. They got to get that fixed.
Well, what about this? Because fans are wanting to talk about all the games that have happened, the Fail Mary, the NFC title game, all that. Fans, that's all they want to talk about. What about this Packers coaching staff and players that have been on this team through those games? Do you think it's still in the back of their head as they get ready to play tonight?
Every single person that is on this Packers team that was on this Packers team in 2014 is going to have it in the back of their mind. It's inescapable. Aaron Rodgers said that this week they did a show of hands in a team meeting to see who has not basically played in Central League Field, or as I think Packers fans again refer to it as the scene of the accident.
Wait a minute, they did a show of hands?
Sorry?
Wait a minute. You say in a meeting they did a show of hands to see who's played there?
I didn't say that. Aaron Rodgers said that.
That's I know. They don't have Wi-Fi in the building to look it up?
Hey, you know, sometimes you know, you go back to the Stone Age a little bit and take a hand pull.
Go ahead.
But it's not really that relevant. It's not that prominent. And then I asked him, what about you? And he said, yeah, that thing's never going away. So,
right, yeah, he holds on to everything.
You're not forgetting it.
Well, the other thing, too, is this, you know, they're always praised for having the 12th man and the crowd being so loud and so forth. My boss just sent me an email during this segment. He said, in their last 8 home games, the Seahawks are 2-6. So, you know, the Packers used to have their mystique, and obviously they're playing well at home this year, but that kind of got lost a little bit there for a while for Green Bay. It appears it's been lost for the Seahawks as well.
Yeah, this is not your 2013 to 2014 Seahawks.
Not at all.
They're still a team that has a quarterback that can win games. They've got a coach who has an established identity in place, especially on the defensive side, that can win games. But they're not the juggernaut that they were 5 years ago. And that really has most closely and clearly been seen with their lack of dominance at home. Where I say this is a really tough road test, it's because 2 days after playing a game, they hopped on a plane to go 2,000 miles, 4 hours, and then have to play 2 days later. It's more the miles and the travel than even the venue itself, which 5 years ago would have been the venue because it still is, you know, it's got the acoustics being the loudest stadium in the NFL. But the Seahawks haven't been that unbeatable team at home. It's just 2,000 miles is a heck of a long way.
Your prediction, Packers and Seahawks tonight, Ryan Wood?
Well, 2,000 miles is a heck of a long way. And I mean, the NFL completely screwed the Packers on this one. And not just them. They screwed the Vikings, making them go week 4, I think it was, on a Thursday night game in L.A. That's not great either. So it's not that one has an advantage in the division, but I'm taking the Seahawks just because, I mean, that has, if all things are equal, the travel on the short week is just a huge thing riding over this game. And you can see where the NFL – it's a heck of a matchup for Thursday night. You get a whole smorgasbord of terrible football usually. This is a heck of a matchup, and the NFL's wanted to do that. But then you start to tamper, and you start to mess with the competitive balance, and that sure seems like what they did. We'll see how the Packers – maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Packers come out, and the travel means nothing. But I predict that it'll mean something, and that the Seahawks will win a very close one. I think the Packers will play well. I think it'll be a close Seahawks win.
You got a score?
Let's just say 28-22.
28-22.
Just
All right.
We're here again.
Woody, we will check in with you again tomorrow, my friend. You can find his work at the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and on Twitter at Ryan Wood. Always appreciate it, Woody. Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
And he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.